You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're all about real news and great conversation. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We've been talking about some of the crazy things that Tom Homan has had to say. And listen, even if you support mass deportations, even if you support mass deportations of people that have been here for decades without proper documentation, but who have never committed a crime, who have worked hard, paid taxes, billions and billions and billions of dollars into our federal, state, and local governments. Even if you agree with all of that, you can say, I don't go as far as our last caller, CJ. I don't go that far. I think that those things should be done without racial profiling, while respecting our Constitution. There are sort of middle grounds here. Now, I don't see anybody in the Trump administration trying to find that middle ground. In fact, I find it pretty shocking that they seem to be fully embracing things that if it were directed at Jewish folks or German folks or Irish folks or Italian folks here in this country, there would be quite the uproar. We're going to go back to the phones, 855-752-4842. And don't worry, everybody, then we're going to be getting to the outrage of MAGA over the Epstein files. CJ couldn't keep himself together long enough for me to get to Epstein with him, as well as Lee Harvey Oswald. We're finally getting some information that the CIA, I don't know, anybody really surprised about that, actually did know about Lee Harvey Oswald. Let's go to the phones. We've got Chris from Nina. Say hello to Matt. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Well, hello, and thank you for your show. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. And oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. So I love the fact that you seem to have viewers from both sides. And I really wish that that would be able to engage in dialogue. So I will just say I read an interesting article about being open-minded. And it wasn't about religion or politics. It was the topic of open-minded. And to be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen. And some of your callers are willing to do that and some aren't. So yeah. I do respect, though, that you have callers from both sides of the aisle. And so I just wanted to say that because I want to start out on a neutral ground and not, you know, antagonize anybody with my first thought and comment.
Go ahead.
Very true, because half the people would say shut up and hang up, so type of thing.
Yes.
I am also an independent voter, and I really believe that you have to follow the person that, you know, follows your ideals. And even way back to, you know, 2016, when you had 16 Republican candidates, if in the primary your person was number 9 and they didn't make it through, do you stick with number 2 just because they have the label that begins with R? Or do you stand back and look at everybody and see who best aligns with your views? And I think that that's really important. And for the people who called and talked about 300,000 children, even if that number is true, let's give them the benefit of the doubt, then why aren't they upset about the children who are separated from their families because of ICE raids or whatever? Like, there are families torn apart and families that children were lost by what the government did. So if we're upset by these children being separated because of Joe Biden, then we should be upset by these children being separated because of Donald Trump as well. You can't choose when to be upset about a topic and not be upset by that topic all the time. That's just hypocrisy. So that was just one thought that came to mind as I was listening to the people call in. But as far as the whole profiling, yeah, we need to all be concerned. I mean, what if somebody is just, you know, Italian and dark hair, they went on vacation, they have nice olive complexion, should they be stopped and have to prove that they're Italian before they're, we have really good people that are suffering really horrific, I mean, we need to all be concerned about our rights, and we need to be concerned about a president who says someone disagrees with him, so he wants to revoke her citizenship. And yeah. I'm not a Rosie O'Donnell fan at all, but that's a very alarming comment, because that's not democracy, that's a dictatorship. And so at what point do we find these comments repulsive? And anybody who's a parent can say, we love our kids to death. But even though I love my children, I don't agree with every decision. So the fact that some people will absolutely hate the Democrats, I didn't actually like Joe Biden either. He wasn't my favorite. But I certainly cannot agree with one stinking thing that is going on right now. And again, you have to at some point not just be blind because of a label. No matter how you vote, right is right and wrong is wrong. And
thanks so much. That's Chris from Neenah. We just got a stacked list of callers, but Chris, so on right on point. We have to get past the labels and be able to have honest, or at least attempt at honest conversation about difficult things. And I was able during our break to do some research, as CJ suggested, into the 300,000 allegedly missing children. This is from Aaron Rishlin Melnick. He's the policy director at the American Immigration Council, which says the figure 300,000 is indicative of a bureaucratic paperwork issue rather than anything nefarious. The quote missing label being attached to these kids were kids that did not show up for hearings. Okay. He went on and said this: when you hear the phrase missing, you think that there is a child that no one can find. They don't know where they are. That's not the case here. The government in these cases has not made any effort to find these children. And I do have to say this. It is a little, I find it hard to take at face value the concern for kids when family separation was a policy in Trump 1, right? Like that, those aren't things that you can hold together and say, well, I'm standing up for kids, right? Like it just doesn't work like that. And there are hundreds of thousands of children that are legitimately missing and being exploited. And yes, we should be concerned about any unaccompanied minor in this country. But I don't think racial profiling is how we make those kids safer, if we want to be specific about it. CJ did follow up with a comment that said, ask a black police officer if he thinks they're racial profiling. It doesn't work like that, CJ. A commanding officer doesn't give officers, go out there and racially profile. It doesn't sound like that. It's part of a pattern of enforcement. And you have had Tom Homan, Kristi Noem, and others suggest that that's exactly what should be done. And with respect, CJ, there is an us versus them idea. When you have the badge on, no one attached, even if you are a person of color, you don't associate yourself with this person that you are having a police encounter with. That's not the way that the mentality works. You think, I'm one of the good ones. Of course, this would never affect me. I'd be proud to say who I am because I work in law enforcement. The risk isn't personalized for those individuals. And by the way, that's also not how implicit racial bias works in the mind. Black folks can be implicitly racially biased just like white folks can. It's to a lesser degree, generally speaking. But it's just not how that works. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've got a problem here when Tom Homan, head of ICE, says that he can use physical appearance as a way to, to figure out who they're going to grab.
Reasonable suspicion, yeah.
And that's just not how America's supposed to be. That's not what the Fourth Amendment's about. That's not what the 14th Amendment is about. And yet all these amendments are being violated, especially birthright citizenship in the 14th Amendment, by the Trump administration, and the U.S. Supreme Court is doing absolutely nothing to enforce the U.S. Constitution. That's why we're in a constitutional crisis right now.
And Tim from Wales, Tim, piping in on the text line, 855-752-4842. Talk and text lines are open, 855-75-CIVIC. Tim from Wales says, isn't it a fact that anybody entering the U.S. illegally has committed a crime? It sure is. No, it's not, Tim. Entering the United States without legal permission to do so is a civil violation. It is not a crime. And that's why a lot of people, and I think an increasing proportion of good faith Americans, are finding the treatment of people whose only violation is that civil infraction, the fact of their being here illegally when they may have been here without any criminal record for decades. I think that's why increasing numbers of Americans have a problem with putting folks like that in concentration camps in Florida. Why people are having, more and more Americans are saying, it's not okay to round up gobs of people because they look Latino. That's not what we fought a civil war over. And I think that that's exactly the problem. There's so much misinformation out there. And I'll just say this last point about just rhetoric. Joe Biden didn't open the border. He may have not pursued stringent or strong border enforcement, but he didn't open the, he didn't close down CBP. He didn't close down our border checkpoints. I don't even know what, I don't know what that means when, well, he got up on a stage and he said, I welcome immigrants. There's a huge difference between saying that as a candidate, as a point of rhetoric, and opening the border. That's just not, it gets me so frustrated. That's not what happened. You can criticize the way that he went about border enforcement. Oh, but again, wasn't it Donald Trump that killed the one bipartisan piece of immigration reform legislation that our country has ever seen in 20, like basically ever seen in 20 years? Do we still have zero pathway to citizenship for those people that have been here for decades contributing to our communities and schools and faith groups and paying taxes? Paul,
and do we really want a mask up? ICE agents are people who are claiming to be ICE agents, grabbing people because of their physical appearance. There's a woman, U.S. citizen in L.A., who was selling flowers or fruit, just grabbed by ICE. Is that what we want in this country?
We're going to go right back to the phone lines when we come back. We got Paul from Spooner, Joe from Madison, Mark from Prairie du Sac. You can join Matt and I, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-752-4842. We've been talking about mass deportations and specifically racial profiling. And it has elicited a lot of strong feelings on this. I think one of the most important things that we can do is try to assess and talk honestly about what is completely broken about our immigration process and our immigration system. We simply do not have anywhere near the number of immigration judges to process the number of people that we have that may need some sort of court process related to their immigration status. Most Americans don't support locking up in concentration camps and deporting to some of the most violent places on the planet. People have been here for decades, never committed a crime, haven't even gotten a parking ticket, who have contributed to our communities that may be your friends and coworkers, or that might, you know, take care of your kids or your elderly relatives, right? We've got to be able to have these complicated conversations in a way that's not like, Joe Biden sucked. and now I'm done and I'm never talking. Like, that's not helpful. He's not the president anymore. And I just, the idea that we had meaningful immigration reform that could have been passed, that would have made this better.
Bipartisan reform.
And the only reason that that wasn't signed into law, that we don't have a better system now than, frankly, unconstitutional racial profiling at a mass scale by masked, unidentified law enforcement officers, is because Donald Trump wanted to run on it, wanted every single person who's ticked off about Joe Biden saying exactly what you're saying. We can do better. We deserve better. And the fact that there is not a single legal pathway to citizenship, once you've been passed in the country without appropriate documentation, and it depends on a couple of factors, but in general, more than 12 months, there's no way for you to like hit the reset button and find your way into legal status. It's impossible. So there's a humanitarian crisis here at a certain level, because if the only solution that we have is race-based roundups for concentration camp detention subject to third country deportation, the only options we've got is that or utter chaos, that's a lie you're being sold. And it's a dangerous one, because it enables and it makes people, like, I truly feel some of our conservative callers willing to deal away some of the most fundamental values of our democracy for the illusion of safety. The illusion of safety. We have to be able to say as a country, I'm not going to scream about Joe Biden. I'm not going to scream about Donald Trump. What I'm going to say is, here's what's busted. Here's what's wrong with our immigration process here. And here are the sorts of resources that we need as a country to create safety, but also to live up to the highest principles that our country was founded upon. Not to trade them away for basically the momentary hit of endorphin rush that it feels to own the libs. Matt.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if we had coffee with CJ, we could bring him around. But when he's calling, he gets all riled up and is willing to say, yeah, I'm happy to show my papers to anyone who says they're from law enforcement. I mean, I don't want to live in that country.
Well, and that's, you know, first they came for the communists and I wasn't a communist. Right. And then they came for the unionists and I didn't complain because I wasn't a unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I said nothing because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for me. Maybe someday, CJ, your papers won't be good enough. Who decides your rights then? Because it certainly doesn't seem to be the Supreme Court. Let's take a listen. Jacob, do you have that Reagan sound talking about immigrants ready to go?
We don't have enough time.
Oh, we don't have enough time. Mm. We will on the backside. Let's get a quick caller. We don't have enough time. We got 2 minutes. Okay, it might be a wee bit on the long side. Let's get to some of our callers. Paul from Spooner, you've been very patient. Go ahead, Paul.
I just wanted to say thank you to CJ. I think that's what his name was.
Yes, sir.
Because of him and you guys allowing him on your show, you're doing something that I don't do. I refuse to even talk to these people because you can't talk to them. And that's what you have just found here. But for him, the only thing I can say is look forward to the midterms. That's all we can say. Look forward.
Looking forward to the midterms. Charles from Milwaukee, we got just about a minute. Go ahead, sir. Charles, you there? Hey, Charles from Milwaukee, are you there? We'll try to come back to Charles. We got Kurt from Madison. We got under a minute. Kurt, say hello to Matt. What you got for us?
All right, I'm going to have to be quick. I have to say, CJ is a lost cause. And if you listen to people who are experts about people's behavior, it's not just his anger. I hear hatred, and I'm sorry. That's what I'm hearing. And he has children, I believe, that he adopted from South America. I'm sorry. If you put this soundbite in front of a panel of people, they would say the guy's a bigot. Now, can I prove he's a bigot? No. But the point is, his behavior directs you in the direction that he is. He made no, he didn't even pause about if you were black. He just skipped right past and says, oh, you're going to bring that card out now. So I'm going to quick jump to what I wanted to call about. And that is, what frightens me the most about what's going down is the Democrats. And are the Democrats prepared? Are they going to be proactive and prepared to do real war if they get control of the House? And or
what happens when the dog catches the car? We're going to continue that discussion. Obama had some thoughts. We talk Epstein and that other conspiracy theory when we come back. Lee Harvey Oswald up next. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt and I want to put a pin in this discussion. We've had so much great back and forth, and we thank all of you for that. And I again want to say this. If you are one of those people that keeps trumpeting what it was a completely made-up fictional bit of nonsense, that Joe Biden opened the borders, that is a lie. That was not true. Have you ever heard of the Cato Institute? Okay? This is considered to be a libertarian and conservative-leaning think tank. This is the title of their article published on the Cato Institute's website from January 16th of this year. Okay? January 16th. Biden didn't cause the border crisis, part one. This is the Cato Institute. During President Joe Biden's term, Border Patrol arrested an unprecedented number of immigrants who crossed illegally into the United States. Many believe Biden caused this increase in migration by reducing border enforcement. However, data obtained by the Cato Institute through the Freedom of Information Act challenges this narrative. In fact, the border crisis began before Biden took office and ended before he left. Again, does reality matter, or does it just matter to own the libs? At base, I think we've gotta be able to have more fulsome, more honest conversations about this that aren't based on what's getting spewed out on Fox News. And I don't know that there's any better exemplar of an about face. An about face, and then an about face, other than, oh yeah, the tariff policy. Then what the Trump administration has done with the Jeffrey Epstein matter. And conservatives are really angry about this, especially young conservatives. I want to take a few of these cuts, Jacob, that we got lined up. You're going to hear Steve Bannon interacting with a young man. I believe this is just Steve Bannon first. This is Steve Bannon prognosticating, and then I'll give you a bit of breaking news on this very concept. Let's take cut seven first, if we can, Jacob.
Is that true? Is that? It's not about just a pedophile ring and all that. This is about who governs us, right? And that's why it's not going to go away. For this to go away, can we blow the break, by the way? Can we blow the break, guys? For this to go away, you're going to lose 10% of the MAGA movement. If we lose 10% of the MAGA movement right now, we're going to lose 40 seats in 26. We're going to lose the president. They don't even have to steal it, which they're going to try to do in 28, because they're going to sit there and they go, they've disheartened the hardest core populist nationalists that have always been who governs us.
40 seats in 2026. I mean, that's what he's prognosticating, that they'll lose 40 seats. Let's listen to Steve Bannon and a young man get to the real heart of the issue here. This is cut 8.
That coming from a young person in the base and a dedicated worker and follower of his that you feel he needs to do right now.
We need to enforce the laws of this country. And, you know, like you said, Steve, there's no better question than who rules America. It's not the people. So we need to obviously have the declassification of the
Epstein
files.
You don't think Donald Trump is president? You would tell Donald Trump in the Oval Office that you think there's an open question with him as commander-in-chief and doing all he's doing. You would actually tell Trump you don't know, you question who rules this country?
I definitely would, because it's a blackmail ring, and anybody who wouldn't is not paying attention. Simply put, Epstein himself said that he was best friends on the stand with Donald Trump. So anybody who thought that these files were going to get just declassified because we pressured him enough or you voted harder enough is just lying to yourself.
And finally, this piece, Bannon asked this young man one more question, and he really goes for it. Take a listen here.
Do you agree with a special prosecutor has to be an independent special prosecutor has to take over? Do you believe that DOJ and FBI right now, with the guys who we're all close to, Pam Bondi, Dan Bongino, Cash Patel, do you think they have any credibility left to pursue this?
No, and I'll tell you exactly why, Steve, because in 2016, we trusted the plan with Trump. But now Trump has become the deep state. The exact thing we voted him in.
Why do you say he's become the deep state?
What is more deep state than covering up for pedophiles?
Ouch. And apparently some breaking news. Lara Trump says the Trump administration will release more evidence in the Jeffrey Epstein case and promises, quote, greater transparency. Jeff Epstein had a 25-plus year friendship with Donald Trump. They had business dealings together. Donald Trump was frequently on his airplane. He was at Epstein Island, I believe. Here's what I know about really, 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 really rich people. They generally do whatever the hell they want and think that they're completely and utterly unaccountable.
Untouchable.
Untouchable. And I don't know about you, but I don't truly believe, and if you're a person that cares about telling the truth, anyone could get on a lie detector who isn't trained to beat those things, who voted for Donald Trump, and tell me that Donald Trump is a guy that feels deeply accountable, that he has experienced accountability throughout his life, and he would never do anything that he would find, you know, embarrassing if it came into public light.
I mean, there are all those creepy pictures of him with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes, hundreds and hundreds of them. I just, the ultra-wealthy, in the ultra-wealthy bubble, with people that just do whatever they ask and cover it all up, and unbelievably, as we were on the air, Ghislaine Maxwell, who was the long-term girlfriend of Jeff Epstein before he died at Rikers Island, has filed a petition for the Supreme Court to review her conviction for sex trafficking. And here is what she is asking the Supreme Court to take a look at. Whether or not the prosecution for sex trafficking by the Southern District of New York, and I'm quoting here, quote, was prohibited by a non-prosecution agreement between the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Florida and petitioners, Ghislaine's co-conspirator, meaning Jeff Epstein. Let's be clear here. The United States Attorney for the Southern District of Florida, when Jeff Epstein was given a slap on the wrist, entered into this non-prosecution agreement that permitted him to continue to abuse young people in this country, to CJ and all of the rest of them who are oh so concerned about young people being trafficked. Yeah, the U.S. Attorney who is in charge of that non-prosecution agreement was Donald Trump's hand-picked U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida. I mean, it just, what? You can't make any of this make sense to me. It is mind-boggling. All of this backlash, and there has just been caboodles of it. I don't know if anybody's seen Donald Trump's bananas tweet on Truth Social from over the weekend. It is lengthy if you're watching me on YouTube at Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on Instagram and Facebook. He basically admits that there are Epstein files and a client list. I mean, it's this is one of the lines in this post from Trump. selfish people are trying to hurt it all over a guy who never dies, Jeffrey Epstein. For years, it's Epstein over and over again. Why are we giving publicity to files written by Obama, Crooked Hillary, Comey, Brennan, and the losers and criminals, blah, blah, blah. Oh, so did that certainly sounds like there are files, and a lot of them from that time. We know, sir, that there might not be files from your administration because your handpicked U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida helped Epstein evade any accountability for his crimes. I mean, what? It is truly, truly shocking. And Jacob's giving me a fact check. Acosta, the U.S. attorney in the Southern District, wasn't made the Southern District's U.S. attorney by Trump. He inherited that, but he was overseen by Trump while he was the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida. So he was overseen by Trump. That was during the Trump administration, and then Trump made him Secretary of Labor after he had done all of that good work helping Jeffrey Epstein. Nothing like a promotion for helping one of your buddies evade some pretty embarrassing criminal charges. And all of this happening in this weird, I don't know, where news kind of overlaps in these bizarre ways. The conspiracy of all conspiracies, JFK's assassination, Matt, just incredible reporting today from the Washington Post that basically confirms that the CIA, at least some within the CIA, back when we can go back to the Warren Commission, we can go back to some of these other oversight committees that were created later on to look into some of these things, basically lied to Congress and the American people about the CIA's knowledge of Lee Harvey Oswald prior to the killing of JFK.
Yeah, this is a huge story at the Washington Post, where in the very first paragraph, which I'll read in a second, they say that the CIA may have been involved in the assassination of JFK. I mean, this is a showstopper. Here it goes. For more than 60 years, the CIA claimed it had little or no knowledge of Lee Harvey Oswald's activities before the assassination of JFK in November 1963. That wasn't true. New documents unearthed by a House task force prove the revelation raises further questions about the agency's awareness of or involvement in the plot to murder the president. And basically, it goes on to say that the CIA guy who was overseeing some anti-Castro folks had knew Oswald, and Oswald came knocking on the CIA's door to cooperate. And then this guy who oversaw all that from the CIA then told the House committee that was investigating it, you know, to go away, basically, there's nothing here. So it's quite a dramatic story. Oliver Stone must be going crazy right now.
Absolutely. It's pretty shocking. I mean, the article from the Washington Post goes into quite a bit of detail about how this particular CIA officer, a guy who was, quote, deputy chief of the psychological warfare branch in Miami, had a fake driver's license that used this name, Howard Mark Gebler. For years, the CIA, including as late as 1998, told Congress that it had no records about this Howard character and that the name had been nothing more than a routing indicator. No. It was a CIA agent. My goodness. We're going to continue our discussion of a Monday filled with mind-blowing news. We'll take our final callers and texters when we come back. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's been my great pleasure to have my friend and yours, Matt Rothschild, host of Wisconsin Forward, a podcast that you can find wherever you get your favorite podcast, with me all afternoon. Thanks so much, Matt. I always enjoy our time together. And thank goodness that, I mean, you were here because so much news. Holy cow. We've got a few very, very patient callers that have been waiting to share their thoughts with you and I and the rest of our listening audience. Let's go to Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, please say hello to Matt. What you got for us?
Hello, Matt. Yeah, I think that we have to actually stick to the Constitution. And that it is just disgusting that people are willing to overlook that because it's required for us to have probable cause, and these people are supposed to be getting a trial. If they have indeed committed a trial, the Constitution is explicit that you're entitled, if you've committed even an infamous crime, you're entitled to a trial. A trial, get to trial swiftly. This nonsense of racial profiling and stuff like that, for goodness sakes, I mean, that they could actually say, well, Tom Holman, you know, some law enforcement officer look at Tom Holman and see the rumpled guy that he is. Well, that's that rumpled guy. He looks a little suspicious to me. You know, throw him up against the wall and put the handcuffs on him before he has a word out and say, you know, you look a little suspicious, sir. I mean, any one of us could be targeted like that.
Right.
Yeah, that is the concern for sure, Mark. And to me, one of the problems is watching people so flippantly talk about these issues with such, again, language that is debased, that belies the seriousness of the matter, and which is, at base, straight-up racist. I mean, the message is very clear. It's, hey, if you're white, don't worry about it. Nobody's bugging you. That's the message. And if that's okay with you, you know, geez, it's hard to have a good faith conversation beyond that. And I think, you know, what's upsetting to me is when I point that out, that it is dog whistling racism, I'm called a racist, right? Like, that is so, it is like getting gaslit repeatedly. When what we should be saying is, one, let's actually ground our debates in some reality, in some facts, and then let's talk about actual solutions that gets beyond race-baiting rhetoric from the right. It isn't racism to point out the racism of others, to be really clear here. And again, I feel like I got to explain that a few times. Richard, very briefly, because I want to get in this Reagan quote. Richard, say hi to Matt, Richard from Waukesha, and let us know what you got.
Hi,
your
Matt.
Answer.
Hey, Richard.
I got some information that sums up how we are where we are in our country, civics. There's a great program called the 30 S word. It's called Democratic Socialism History from the World and Us to all the way up to Biden's election and what's going on, and cuts from all famous people and this and that, and it's just fabulous.
We will check that out, Richard. With that, let's go to the great communicator, Ronald Reagan, and hear some of his wisdom on immigration in this country.
Anyone from any corner of the earth can come to live in America and become an American. Yes, the torch of Lady Liberty symbolizes our freedom and represents our heritage, the compact with our parents, our grandparents, and our ancestors. It is that lady who gives us our great and special place in the world. For it's the great life force of each generation of new Americans that guarantees that America's triumph shall continue unsurpassed into the next century and beyond. Other countries may seek to compete with us, but in one vital area, as a beacon of freedom and opportunity that draws the people of the world, no country on earth comes close. This, I believe, is one of the most important sources of America's greatness. We lead the world because, unique among nations, we draw our people, our strength, from every country and every corner of the world. And by doing so, we continuously renew and enrich our nation. While other countries cling to the stale past, here in America, we breathe life into dreams, we create the future, and the world follows us into tomorrow. Thanks to each wave of new arrivals to this land of opportunity, We're a nation forever young, forever bursting with energy and new ideas, and always on the cutting edge, always leading the world to the next frontier. This quality is vital to our future as a nation. If we ever closed the door to new Americans, our leadership in the world would soon be lost.
Our leadership in the world would soon be lost.
They've closed the door. My, how far the Republican Party has lurched to the right, to the, what I call the fascist right, the bigoted right, the scapegoating right.
We can do better, and we deserve better. And sometimes I think it requires us all to try to turn the temperature down. Folks, thank you so much. There has been such great participation on the phone lines and on the text lines today. Matt and I deeply appreciate that. And I know many of you get a little frustrated when I give some of our conservative callers and texters some airtime. But I truly believe even when the conversation isn't productive, the act of trying again to have the conversation is productive. It matters. It matters deeply. We have to keep talking. Otherwise, what's left? We continue these great discussions every day right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tomorrow I'll have Jim Santel with me. We'll dig into some of these Supreme Court developments, take a review of the Supreme Court term, and have a little fun. Thank you all for being with Matt and I this afternoon. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.